Good morning. I'm Kevin Vance with some local news stories. Crews are battling wildfires in the San Francisco Bay Area, and thousands of people are under orders to evacuate as dozens of wildfires blazed across the state amid a blistering heat wave now in its second week. KLW's Ben Trefney has more.
Governor Gavin Newsom noted California's preparedness to face these infernos.
This is what the state does. We are quite familiar with these challenges, and everybody watching is quite familiar with the challenges of wildfires here in the state of California as well. But there's no question, while last year we experienced some acuity of fires, the total number of fires last year was substantially lower than the activity we're experiencing this year. And what has occurred over the last 72 hours is certainly stretched the resources of this state.
The American Lung Association in California suggests the following tips for people impacted by the fire and smoke. Stay inside as much as possible with doors, windows, and other openings shut. Close car windows and vents when driving through smoky areas and set your air to recirculate. Contact a physician immediately if you experience wheezing, shortness of breath, chest heaviness, or lightheadedness. And avoid exercising outdoors, particularly if you smell smoke or experience eye or throat irritation. For KALW News, I'm Ben Trefney.
Three wildfires close to us in the Bay Area that we're paying close attention to. There's the CSU Lightning Complex burning in Santa Clara, Alameda, Contra Costa, San Joaquin, and Stanislaus counties. 102,000 acres have burned. It's only 5% contained. There's the CZU August Lightning Complex burning in Santa Cruz and San Mateo counties. 225,000 acres burned. It is still 0% contained. And the LNU Lightning Complex, which I drove by the other day coming back from camping in the last couple of days, burning in Napa, Sonoma, Lake Yolo, and Solano County. 124,000 acres burned and only 0% contained. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors reluctantly approved a settlement with UC Hastings over tent encampments and unhealthy living conditions in the Tenderloin. KLW's Noor Bouzidi reports.
Earlier this year, the UC Hastings College of Law, along with residents and business owners in the Tenderloin, sued the city of San Francisco. The lawsuit said conditions were deplorable before COVID, but that the pandemic, quote, exacerbated dangers and harms to those who live, work, and go to school in the Tenderloin, end quote. In June, they reached a settlement that compelled the city to remove 70% of the tents and relocate people to hotels and safe sleeping villages. The board had 3 months to approve it, which they did on Tuesday with apparent hesitation. Some on the board were afraid that the settlement would set a precedent and inspire copycat lawsuits outside of the Tenderloin. And in May, not long after Hastings filed their suit, residents in Haight-Ashbury filed a lawsuit to stop the city from establishing a safe sleeping village in their neighborhood. The Coalition on Homelessness, which opposed the lawsuit, says that the settlement normalizes the, quote, litigating away of the unhoused, unquote. Since the lawsuit was filed, the number of tents on Tenderloin sidewalks has been significantly reduced, and more than 600 people have been rehoused, temporarily. I'm Noor Bouzidi, KALW News.
Muni trains in San Francisco will start running again this Saturday with significant changes. Advocates for the disabled say that the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency has not done enough to accommodate them. KALW's Sarah Lee Sterland reports.
Senior and Disability Action, a local advocacy group, is unhappy that passengers will have to wait longer, cross busy roads, and switch trains more than in the past. Representatives made their case during a public comment period during a Tuesday hearing. The SFMTA has consolidated several routes and shortened some of them so that they don't enter tunnels. Previously, direct lines, such as a J Church, now require passengers to change trains to get between downtown and the rest of the city. On its website, the SFMTA explained how it's going to accommodate people with disabilities. It has created temporary boarding platforms with ramps at several stations, and the agency provides subsidized taxi rides for those unable to access Muni. Separately on Wednesday, the region's public transportation agencies issued a healthy transit guide for passengers. I'm Sarah Lee Sterland, KALW News.
During her speech at the Democratic National Convention last night, Senator Kamala Harris talked about a lot about her family and roots in California, but not much about her record in the state. Cap Radio's PolitiFact reporter Chris Nichols has been following Harris this campaign season and has more.
Harris is a former state attorney general and San Francisco's district attorney. But last night, she focused less on her career and more on the foundation she gained through family.
My mother instilled in my sister Maya and me the values that would chart the course of our lives.
Harris did reference taking on the big banks and transnational gangs as the state's top prosecutor. But Democratic strategist Robin Swanson says Harris wanted the nation to know her first as a person.
Having her introduced as a big sister and an auntie and a stepmom and a wife and a daughter of immigrants, all of those things, humanizing her as a person, I think was a really smart move.
Swanson says Harris will also need to present her California record to the nation, and she expects Joe Biden's running mate will have plenty of time to do that on the virtual campaign trail. In Sacramento, I'm Chris Nichols.